You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Good morning, Tri-State. This is Lisa Seif at Radio Rehab back on the air. We have missed visiting with you in the community and introducing you to people that can share their experience, strength, and hope. So we're glad to be back. And we're here Sunday talking to a good friend of mine named LaTanya, who has been clean and sober for over 6 years now and is very active in recovery and exciting to talk to. LaTanya's helped a lot of people, a lot of women in recovery, so I'm excited to have her here for Radio Rehab today. How you doing, LaTanya?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Can't complain. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
So, LaTanya, I know you're not from Evansville, Indiana, but this is your home.
Yes, it is.
And I know you've been in recovery for quite a while. Tell us a little about yourself and, you know, how old you were when you started on your road of drinking and drug use.
I was actually living in Detroit, Michigan. I was 18 years old. I went to my, like, senior picnic, and was kind of just doing what everybody else was doing, you know. We went and stole some wine from the liquor store, and which really was a convenience store, you know, and was at the Pork and whatever, and I just started drinking. I passed out when I was drinking, you know.
First time
I drank. I've been a blackout drinker most of my, you know, time I've been drinking.
Could you explain blackout real quick for us?
Blackout means that, you know, when I drank until I passed out. You know, most of the time I didn't know, you know, what happened, you know, in between the drinking.
So you didn't remember anything?
Right. I would wake up in different places and stuff like that, you know. So I just didn't remember what really went on, you know.
Wow. And you continued to drink anyway, huh?
And I continued to drink anyway for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm sure I did a lot of driving.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So you were a blackout heavy drinker from the start.
Yes.
Did you have alcoholism in your family?
I won't say we had. I think we had heavy drinkers in our family, but I don't remember anybody getting in trouble like I did.
Yeah. So you just hit the runway and went with it, huh?
Yeah, I played a lot of sports and stuff, you know, and everything, you know, that I did, it consumed with drinking, you know. It's just like all the ball I played and everybody drank, you know. And a lot of times I played with a lot of older people because I was pretty good, you know. So, you know, it was just a part of what we did, you know. If we played ball, we drank, you know. When I went somewhere, we drank, you know. It was just part of life, you know. Get off from work, we go drink, you know. It was just something that we did.
So you really didn't think it was anything out of the norm?
No, I didn't think anything was wrong with it as long as, you know, I was paying my bills, you know, and I was going to work every day, you know, whatever, and I wasn't getting in no trouble, you know, so, no, I didn't think anything was wrong with it.
So what finally happened in the course of that drinking career?
I got a few DUIs, you know, and of course I blamed it on everybody else as to why I got them and whatever, and so I caught myself switching to something that, probably they couldn't smell as much or whatever, you know. I believe that they smelled it on me all the time when they would pull me over and stuff. And then I started smoking cocaine. I did that for about 4 years.
Wow.
And then I started doing that. There was no more working or anything. You know?
So how does the mind go from heavy drinking into smoking cocaine, a female athlete?
It doesn't. I mean, it's like when you first start doing it, it's just like with the drinking. You don't think, you know, nothing's going on, you know. But as you continue on, it just turns into a daily thing. I mean, within 6 months, I was smoking like somebody had been smoking for 3 or 4 years.
Wow.
I mean, it just took off. It's just like it just took off from my alcohol. I was doing it on a daily basis all day, you know.
Just hijacked your brain immediately.
Right, right.
So is cocaine or was cocaine part of that drinking circle, or did you go out of that circle with the cocaine?
No, I kind of went out of the drinking circle because I don't know, when I started smoking cocaine, I didn't do a lot of drinking. It just wasn't something that I wanted or whatever. It's just like really an automatic switch. Now I know people that do both,
yeah.
You know, but I may have a beer next to me, but they might have stayed there all day, you know, as long as I was smoking. So I would say that, you know, it was a different crowd than what I hung around with when I drank.
Did you know then that something was amiss?
Oh, yeah. I knew it was a problem, you know, whatever, but I don't know. It was just real hard to kick. It's just real hard to kick, you know. And it was like once you get into it, you know, and you get started, you know, it's like you just keep going and keep going. You keep telling yourself every day you're going to stop.
Do you?
You know, yeah.
Or you're tomorrow?
Gonna go, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to stop. You know, you have a dates and plans, you know, and always a holiday comes up or something comes up, you know, well, I'm going to stop after this and I'm going to stop. And you just keep going, you know.
All those broken promises.
Yep, all those broken promises.
Did you ever in that course with the cocaine get in trouble or get in treatment, or did anybody try to stop you then?
You know what? I think the whole time I was in cocaine, I did go to treatment one time. And I guess I must have been in trouble. It's been a while. I'm sure I must have been in some kind of trouble. But, you know, I've never really looked at the cocaine as a real big issue because I guess, I mean, 4 years is a long time, but, you know, not as long as I drank, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I pretty much managed to stay out of jail while I was smoking cocaine.
The alcohol was always getting me in trouble. Isn't that something? We hear so much now about cocaine and meth, mm-hmm. and I work with kids a lot, and they say, well, at least I'm not doing crack cocaine or methamphetamine, but they're drinking all the time.
Yeah, and they might as well be. It gets you in much trouble as anything else. You
the
know
alcohol?
I mean, I was one of those people that always said I wasn't going to never do no drugs.
No kidding.
You know, but I kept on getting them DUIs, you know. It's like, I got to do something different, you know. So, you know, I tried it. And when I tried it, I mean, at first when I did it, I said, this ain't doing nothing to me, you know. And that's how I know I was smoking it every day.
Wow. So that was a four-year course down fast.
Oh, yeah, that was all down. Yeah,
wow.
It was all down.
What finally happened in the course of your addiction?
In the course of my addiction, I started getting in, like, really serious trouble. But in between that time, I had a child.
You did?
Yeah, I had a little boy. His name is Alexander. He'll be 10 years old in November. And then, you know, I was getting to the point where I wasn't just going to jail, you know. They was talking about sending me to prison and stuff like that, you know. And I pretty much had been on every program that they had in Evansville, you know. I mean, dads and abuse, you know, they had it, I had been on it, you know. And so
the law was trying to intervene.
Right, but I guess they just wasn't doing enough, you know,
yeah.
for me to say, well, you know, I need to quit this. Or my mind just wasn't, you know. A lot of times, you know, before I had my child, I always said I wasn't bothering nobody but me, you know. I didn't have no kids or nothing. I wouldn't have nobody else to take care of. So what if I didn't have this and that or whatever?
Yeah.
But for a long time, I still managed to have what, you know, I thought was what I wanted to have.
Had a job, had a car.
Right. Stuff like that. Paid my bills, you know, things like that.
So once you had that boy.
I had that boy, I thought I was done. But I'm going to tell you, I did go back out.
You did after you had
your
baby?
I did go back out after I had him. It wasn't long, for maybe about 3 months.
Mm.
You know, and
drinking?
Drinking and smoking.
Wow.
Drinking and smoking, yeah. Did some things while I was out there, you know, those 3 months and stuff. I didn't get caught doing them, you know, but actually they did catch up with me in the long run, you know, which is actually how I ended up going to prison.
So you ended up getting in big legal trouble past even not
oh,
just
yeah.
the
now,
DUIs.
Oh, yeah. Now it didn't have nothing to do with the drinking. Now it was a cocaine addiction, you know, because now I was, you know, I was stealing and going into places that I didn't have no business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pretty much doing whatever I needed to do to get whatever I wanted, you know.
Wow. Even after the baby?
Even after the baby. Well, like I said, for like 3 months, you know.
So, LaTanya, and I deal with it all the time, so do you, in the rooms
mm-hmm.
of AA and just in treatment and in drug courts. And I always get this question from people, don't these women realize that they're losing their children? What do you say to somebody that says, don't women realize that they're losing their children?
All I say, and I say it to the girls when I go into the safe house and the jails all the time, you know, I try to explain to them, you know, how much, you know, their kids love them, but also how much their kids miss them, you know, and that, you know, although we think we're not doing nothing to them, we are, you know. Mm-hmm. We're killing our kids, you know, especially when we go in and out of their life, in and out of their life, mm-hmm. you know. And I just have to say, the day that I was blessed that I didn't, you know, keep going in and out of my son's life, because I remember my mom telling me when he was little, I used to come and get him every weekend, and he had this little suitcase. And when I had went back out, my mom said he used to go to them stairs every weekend and get that suitcase and be waiting on me to come. And,
ooh, you know, ouch.
That really tore me up. So, you know, like I said, when I went to prison, I just made up my mind that, you know, I needed to change some things, you know. And I just did the stuff that had been taught to me in AA, you know, prayed a lot, you know. Got into positive stuff, you know, worked on my program and stuff. And you know, just tried to get God in my life.
So somewhere along the line, you made a very conscious, decisive decision to stop.
Right. And actually, it was the reason why I went to prison. I already knew, because when I went, I could have went to the safe house. I could have went on house arrest. Or I could go to prison. My lawyer and everybody was very shocked that I decided to go to prison. And I don't say I did it, but something was telling me that's what I needed to do. Because I knew that I had been on every program and every reel. I knew that, you know, if I was going to still be able to see my son, I would still be able to go home, you know, and get help from my mom and him and stuff like that. But if I went to prison, I knew it was just going to be me,
mm-hmm.
you know.
No distractions.
Well, not no distractions, but nobody to lean on or nothing like that. And that's how I learned how to lean on God, you know, because I couldn't call home every day, you know. I couldn't,
no enablers.
I couldn't get money when I wanted to. I couldn't see my child. My mom did bring my son to see me while I was locked up, you know, but, it wasn't like just being right there, you know.
And he was a baby.
Yeah, he was like one.
He probably won't even remember it.
We talk about it.
Do you think he remembers at that age?
Yeah, we talk about it. He remembers a lot of stuff. He remembers stuff that I don't remember.
Kids are amazing,
aren't they? Yeah.
So you knew somewhere at some level you had to get the heck away.
Right, right.
How long were you in prison?
I was in prison for two years and 3 months.
My goodness.
2 years and 3 months.
What's that like?
It's not fun.
No, I'm sure.
It's like, you know, somebody telling you what to do all the time, when to come and go, you know, eat what they give you, you know, trying to survive, you know. And for me, I mean, you know, it helped me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't try to worry about the time, you know. I wanted to make sure that was the only time I was going to have to go,
mm-hmm.
you know. It wasn't nothing fun about it, you know. But if you do what you need to do, you know, just like out here, if you do what you need to do every day, today's gone.
Do the deal.
Know? That's right.
Is it true that you can get drugs and booze in jail,
oh, yeah,
too?
Oh, yeah. You can get anything you want in there. I mean, it's not the actual booze or the drug, but, you know, they make different stuff with different things. Very smart people in prison.
Wow.
You know, I mean, you can get the Benadryls and stuff like that off of commissary and stuff, you know. And if you take enough of them, you know,
yeah,
it's just
you're
like
out.
Getting high and stuff, you know. But when I was in prison, you know, I didn't buy them. And I didn't buy them for anybody else. You know, a lot of times I was offered a lot of money to get them for different people, you know. But it was something that I wouldn't do, because that would be just like me being out here on the street selling drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I believe today that, you know, I tell the girls in the jails and the safe house all the time, whatever you're doing here is what you're going to do when you get out of here.
I was going to ask you that. So prison really can also be a microcosm of the real world. If you're in there serious, people will respect you for being serious. If you're not,
right.
They...
Right. If you're not doing what you need to be doing...
People leave you alone.
It's for rehab, and that's really what it is, you know. Guarantee that all the people that are locked up, you know, especially all the women that are locked up, nobody can't minister to every last one of those women. Okay, so you kind of... Just like the program tell you, you got to pretty much be on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Doing what you got to do, you know, and trusting in your higher power, mm-hmm. you know. And that's
so even in prison, you have to stick with the winners.
That's right. That's right. And I pretty much, you know, I play cards every now and then and stuff, but I pretty much stay by myself, to myself, you know, to keep, you know, away from the drama and, you know, and all the bull that goes on.
Is it tougher, you think, in a woman's prison than a man's prison?
I guess it depends on the person and what you're doing, you know. I mean, you're going to get in trouble in both of them if you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing, you
know? Is it violent?
Well, we had some fights and stuff. I remember one fight in there where they had to get all the guards, and they beat up the guards, and it was like a riot.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, I mean, it can happen. It can happen. I mean, you got women in there that's locked up for the rest of their life. They don't care what happens to
you. You were in there with them?
I was when I was at Rockville.
Jeez.
Then I went to Atterbury. I probably should have never been in Rockville, but they didn't do my paperwork right. And at the time, I was tired of riding here, there, and everywhere, handcuffed. So I just stayed for, you know, like for that first year. And then once my paperwork came in right and everything, then I transferred to Minimum Security, which was in Atterbury. No gate or nothing like that. It was like, that was really like a picnic. But you know what? I think that the year that I did at Rockville was probably better for me. If I had to do both years at Atterbury, wouldn't have helped me.
Really?
Yeah, because Atterbury was just like being on a little camp or something. No offense or not. You can go out when you want to, you know. You had classes and stuff like that. But, you know, and then, you know, as far as, you know, when we wanted to sit out, we had big screen TV and stuff. We used to have big parties for the Super Bowls and stuff like that. You know?
Kind of so, like a resort.
Yeah. It was, so I think, you know, the 1 year at Rockville, I mean, it really showed me what it was about. Atterbury probably wouldn't have.
So you needed that shock treatment right off the bat.
Yeah, right.
You were saying also before we got started that you've always had strong women around you and good role models.
Right, I have.
You think that makes a difference in your sobriety?
Yeah. Because my mom and my auntie them, you know, they single women, you know, they pretty much raise their own kids and stuff. And then their mother raised them. My grandfather was killed when I was little, and so it was just them and their mother, so, and that was all girls.
Jeez.
And so, you know, they pretty much, you know, had to take care of themselves, and they still, you know, very strong. They all into politics and own their own businesses. My mom's been a school teacher at Lincoln for over 50 years.
No kidding.
Yeah, you know, they got degrees and everything. So.
And you do too.
Right.
What? Tell us about that. Yeah, you got what? Computer engineering.
Computer engineering. I went to ITT. When I got out of prison, you know, I wanted to continue to, I knew I had to start doing some stuff different, you know.
Yes.
And I went to school in '76 when I first graduated on a basketball scholarship, but all I did was party.
The drinking?
So, yeah, the drinking and stuff, mm-hmm. You know, then. And so I really didn't do anything with it. And so I had decided that I was going to go back to school and I was going to finish. I really didn't know what I wanted to do or anything. And really the computer engineering was kind of just like a pick of what was there and what I thought I might be interested in. I mean, actually, I had never touched a computer before I took before I took some classes and stuff. So, you know, it was challenging, but I mean, I came out of there with a 3.5.
Wow. Right. And you had never touched a computer before?
No.
So for women that are computer shy and illiterate, here's testament that you can go in and learn if you want.
Yeah, you can. It was a lot of hard work. I had to do some extra hours, plus I worked.
Oh, my goodness.
I should have. Actually, you're supposed to get the degree in like 2 years if you take full load. Now, first quarter, I did take a full load, and I didn't know if I was coming or going, so I cut mine down. So it took me 3 years to get done, but I wasn't in a rush. I was just trying to do something different and finish doing something that I started.
And you did.
And I did.
So do you think that the drugs and alcohol affected your learning?
Yeah, I'm sure they did. I mean, you know... like I said, it was hard. It was hard, but I had to, you know, I got a lot of extra help. I went in, you know, for extra help all the time and stuff. You know, I stayed after if I had to, you know, I did.
Jeez.
You know, I had a lady named Miss Armstead who helped me. She tutored me in my math and stuff, you know. So I did a lot of extra work that I had to do, you know. But, you know, it's like, you know, y'all tell me in AA, just suit up and show up.
Yes,
do the rest.
Suit up and show
that's what
up.
I did.
Well, you are a great role model for women that can survive an addiction and come out with an education and a mother and a member of the community in a sober way. What do you think we need to do, those of us like you, women in recovery that are blessed every day to have a day of sobriety? What do you think? Do you have thoughts about how we could reach out to other women? What we need to be aware of?
I do on a daily basis because I still have a lot of friends that are out there, you know. And I mean, most we can do is what we do. Pray. You know, I talk to people when I see them, you know, whatever. You know, I know I can't make them, you know, come into the rooms or whatever, you know. When I go to the jails and the safe house, you know, I just keep telling them this is the only way that works. You know, you can try all that other stuff. You know, I let them know you don't have to go through everything that I went through, you know. It takes time, you know, and some people just got to keep on, you know, keeping on, you know. But, you know, I don't, you know, try to act like I'm better than nobody else because, you know, because I know it's a blessing. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, I wish I could give it to everybody, but the truth is nobody gave it to me either, you know. You got to, you know, you got to get God in your life, you know.
Got to get your priorities straight.
Yeah, you just got to decide that's what you want to do.
Do you think AA is really the thing that worked for you the best?
Sure. I didn't even understand what a spirit was or anything like that until I got in AA. And, you know, I went to church all the time, but I can't really say I understood what was going on. But today, you know, because of my AA program and my 12 steps, I do understand what's going on in church, you know.
Did you get to hear Burns Brady when he was here? Dr. Burns, he says, you know what? Jesus loves you, but Bill Wilson knows you.
I think I did, yeah.
I love that line. Yeah. That's so true because there are a lot of pious religious people that can't quit drinking.
Right, that's true.
So, you know, we just don't have you got to treat that disease.
Right. And that's a, you know, that's hard, getting a person to understand that it's a disease and that, you know.
Do you think, we've got a few minutes left, do you think that that's tougher to swallow in the black community than the white community?
That it's a disease?
Yeah.
No. You no, know. I think it's for everybody. I just think people, you know, people be where they are, you know, and they don't really understand, but, you know, a lot of reason why we don't understand is because we don't try. And, you know, like I tell them girls in the jail all the time, I go in there and I see the same girls over and over. Some of them been to prison 3 and 4 times, you know, and they still doing the same thing, you know, and it's like, come on, you guys.
Why do you think that is?
Just don't care. Just, you know, like I told them, and what's so sad about it is not really sad because you're here, because you're here, because you want, you know, do what you need to do. But what's really sad is that you won't even try to do something different.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get no different results if you don't even try to do something different. And that's what's really sad. You know, you see them get out, you know, and I see people walking up down the street every day that I know just got out of jail or whatever, and they're doing the same thing.
And you know that lonely hole inside is still there, too. It's
right. Maybe. But how can you get rid of that if you don't try?
Right.
You know, we go into the jails and the safe house. That's why we go in there, for you to know what you can do when you come out of here. You know, everybody got a plan when they get out. Well, I need to go see my kids. Or I need, you ain't seen them for years. What's another hour?
Isn't that the truth? But, you know, you're pretty independent. So am I. You were an athlete. I was an athlete. We were more goal-oriented even when we started our career, probably, of drinking and drugging. Do you think maybe some of these women are just so male-dependent or codependent that they can't think of themselves?
Sure they are. Sure they are.
Of being successful on their own?
Even us as independent, we still be very codependent.
Yeah, oh, heck yeah.
We don't work on whatever. I mean, it's like anything else. It's something that you've been doing forever. You know, it's just it's hard. I know it's hard, you know. But
Do you know Nicole that comes to the room? She had 3 kids when she ended up in the Indiana women's prison, and she came on Radio Rehab and said even that, even knowing she had 3 kids, wasn't going to stop her.
Oh, no. Y'all know her very well.
From using.
Yeah, I know her very well.
Ooh. Well, she knew she had somebody take care of her kids.
Right.
You know, she was 21 and stupid at 21, young. Do you think that's part of it, too? Maybe that young culture?
Well, yeah, that's what took me a long time to really try. Because, you know, I think I was probably 28 the first time I got in any kind of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I didn't look at it as I was too young to be an alcoholic. I just looked at it as, for me at that time, I looked at it as, this is something I've been doing, and I've been doing all right, and I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I didn't see nothing wrong with it, you know. But, yeah, I think a lot of people, when they're real young, come in, they do have a hard time with, you know, because we think, you know, when we get 21, hey, it's time to party, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But actually, it was 18 when I was coming.
I was just going to say, it sounds like at 21 you needed to be quitting already.
Yeah, I did.
21, no drinking for LaTanya.
That's right.
And you have a beautiful 10-year-old son, and you really have contributed in the recovering community. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, yeah, this is a great way to get to people. Is there anything you think we need to say before we shut down for this time? I'd love to have you back.
No, I just think, you know, for those who, you know, don't know, you're never going to know if you don't try.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't give it to you. You can't give it to them. They got to get it for themselves, just like we had to do.
Yeah.
You know? Just gotta try.
And you gotta kind of be sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah. Some people never get sick and tired.
I know it. Well,
thank God we did.
Thank God we did. That's right. Thank you for coming. And Tri-State, I hope you've enjoyed visiting with LaTanya as much as I have. We'll see you again next week. Mr. Landers will announce when Radio Rehab will be on for next Sunday as well. Thanks, and hope you tune in. Until then, don't forget to do the next right thing.